Today's gospel is one of the most poignant, I think, in the entire New Testament. It's got features we see nowhere else in the Bible. A young man has been listening to Jesus. He has been following at a distance, no doubt. And the disciples and our Lord and probably many others are sitting there when this young man comes running up and kneels down in front of all of them. We know this because the disciples were astonished at the conversation that would follow. This is a public conversation, not a private one. And he runs up and he says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now we know that this is the right question. A couple of homilies ago, we asked ourselves, what is the motive of my life? Do I know what life is about? It's about getting to heaven. Let's put it bluntly. We want to go to heaven. And this man cuts right to the heart of it. You see, he's been following the commandments. He knows what to ask. And Jesus is no doubt very pleased with this question. What must I do to inherit this eternal life you're talking about? And Jesus, you know, if we don't know where we're going, it's hard to get there. So we start with the goal of our lives. This is the first thing this gospel gives us, again, this reminder of my goal in life. It's very good to keep that in mind as we get off track very easily. And Jesus responds through the scriptures, you see. When we ask this question now, 2,000 years later, Christ is going to speak to us through the scriptures. We don't have him standing here speaking to us verbally, but he left us his word. He says, you know the commandments. Honor your father and mother, and so on. He only names five, but he means all of them. Love your neighbor. I don't base my relationship on God with feelings. Feelings come and go. I know that I love God if I'm trying to keep the commandments. When I fail, that I ask forgiveness. And if I blow it in a big way, that I go to confession. He doesn't ask us to be perfect, but we're on the road. And Jesus does a remarkable thing at this point. Jesus is looking intently at this man, and the disciples are watching this. They have not seen this before. Mark is writing an eyewitness account. He got it from one of the disciples, probably Peter. Mark is filled with these little details you find nowhere else. Jesus looks at this man with love. Isn't that a wonderful line? Don't you want Christ to be looking at you with love? God is watching all of us all the time. And when we try to keep his commandments, when we ask forgiveness, when we need to go to confession, God is always looking at us with love. Also, when we pray, especially when we pray in adoration in particular, we have this, the gaze of the Lord Almighty, you know, looking at us. The Curia of Ars, he's one of my favorite saints. I did my master's thesis on him, actually. And he said, in one of his sermons, he said, I asked a man in the back of the church, what do you do all day? You're in the church all day long. What do you pray? And he said, well, I'll tell you. I look at God and God looks at me. Isn't that great? That's a prayer. Just looking at God. And he's looking at us. But the young man asks one too many questions. Now remember, Jesus loves this man. He knows this man is going to walk away sad, but he still loves him. We too, all of us fall short in many ways, don't we? We're human beings. Our Lord loves us even though we're not perfect. This is another message of this wonderful gospel. He loves this man even though this man can't give him everything. Who of us would be any different? And he says, what more must I do? Do you have the courage to ask God this question? Do you really? If you were with them, would you say, oh Lord, what am I lacking in my life? Do you want to hear the answer? I'm not sure I do. I want to ask, but I want him to say, Gary, you're perfect. Come on in. But I have all of you to remind me that I'm not. The longer I'm here, the more you know. But this man had too many possessions. He was an American. How could you tell, you know? So many of us have too many possessions, don't we? He says, there's one thing you lack. Go and sell everything and come follow me. He's not asking you and I to do this. This was a special call. It was directed at this man. Some people are called to the religious life in particular, have heard this gospel, have gone off and sold everything and joined religious life. That's a rare call, and the priesthood as well, though we don't have to sell everything. In a way, we do. I had to leave my former life behind in one poignant moment. But if you have one of these calls and you walk away sad because you have something you treasure more, but it was a real call, it will haunt you the rest of your life. That's how you know. But by the time you're haunted, it's too late. And the sense of haunting, I think, comes to all of us who hear this gospel, because this young man is all of us. We're all kneeling in front of Christ asking, what must we do and what more can I do? It's a question we all need to ask. I've led a number of pilgrimages, and one of the first ones I've led was to Medjugorje. It was many years ago now already. I told everyone to change some money into lira. That's how long ago it was. There was no euro. And I said, we're coming in on Sunday. We have a five-hour layover in Rome. That was a cheap flight with a horrible layover. When I worked at the airline, when I was on the phone selling airline tickets, I was taught that I had to say, oh, yes, we have a flight that you'd like by way of a convenient connection in Dallas. I should have gone to confession every time I said that. There's no such thing as a convenient connection. Well, we went by way of an inconvenient connection through Rome. But it did give us a chance to go to St. Peter's. I said, change some money. We're coming in on Sunday. Very few people did. So they got to Rome. They thought they'd find an ATM machine. Instead, what they found was a Roman with a flag saying, come this way, come, come, come. We don't have much time. Got herded right on the bus. No place in the airport to change money. Closed. Dropped us off in front of St. Peter's. All the stores were closed. I was the only one with lira. So I snuck off and left them to their fate. I didn't have enough to share. I only had enough to get in the Vatican Museum. That's all I brought. And so, you know, the other danger when you travel is changing too much money. What do you do when you get home and you've got too many euros? You know, at least they're good in other countries now. I've got a whole box full of useless coins, drachmas and things that don't even exist anymore. You know, I should see if they're worth anything. They were worth nothing when I came home. So our Lord tries to save us from this fate. He says, make sure you change enough money, but don't be a fool and come to your destination, heaven, and have too many euros, too much excess baggage. It's worthless when you get here. It's only valuable while you're in the world. So he's constantly encouraging us to make good use of the tools we're given. Our senses, our bodies, our lives, our time, our money, our faith. This is kind of stewardship Sunday here at St. Ed's. And one asks oneself the question, what talents has God given me to use? How do I use my time? This is the critical one. We think our Lord's talking about money, and he is. It's interesting how often our Lord brings up money in the Gospels. I bring this up because our Lord brings it up. And the other thing he mentions so often is, don't miss your opportunity when God offers it. It may never come again. This man had only this one moment. He could have been a disciple, but he didn't. Do I use my time well by coming to Mass every Sunday, unless I'm sick or traveling? That's how you know you're an active Catholic. This is a critical piece. If I'm not coming to church every Sunday, what did I find more important than God? That's my false God. This is what God is calling you to, a deeper relationship. See, he's not calling us to give up everything, just that thing which is separating me from God. What sin, perhaps, do I need to leave behind if I want to follow you more deeply? It's a question only you can answer. But he does give us a list, not a full list. How much time do I make for prayer? For each of us, there's a different answer. I make a great deal of time for prayer. I cannot be a priest without it. I could work 24 hours a day and not get my list done, but I'd be a fool. And then he talks about money. I bring up money very, in terms of what we give, very seldom here. People here are very generous. We try to be frugal. Lord knows I've been working on the energy bill the last couple years. Many of you have as well. It's frustrating. I get mad when I see a door open in church. I had a very interesting homily I heard 25 years ago. My mother had just died. I was sitting in the back of the church, and the gentleman preaching, I think it was a deacon, he said, "So, what I want you to do, and I've mentioned this before, it's a rule I live by, so I'm going to share it with you. Go home and make a rough estimate of what you've given in the last year to any cause of charity whatsoever. From McNary Band Day that was here like 2 weeks ago, to St. Ed's, the food bank, St. Vincent de Paul, whatever. That relative that hasn't paid you back, count that in. It's a loss. You gave it to charity, right? You gave it to God. What percent of my income is this? I'm not giving you a percent. That's up to you. But have I thought about it? This is the question we have to ask. What percent of my time do I give to God? It might be a lot less than you think. In these hard times, some of us are adjusting ourselves up and down on this figure, but our Lord makes it very clear that we will be called to account for what we were given, particularly the opportunities that we had with other people and perhaps have passed them by. The great thing about a relationship with our Lord is as long as we live, there's always another chance. You know, our Lord tells us that he waits for us and watches for us. He's watching now. We are like this rich young man. We come forward here on Sunday today and we ask our Lord, what must I do to inherit everlasting life? He responds to us through the scriptures to keep the commandments. We tell our Lord, we have tried to do this for many years. And then our Lord offers us an opportunity to go deeper. Let us pray that unlike the rich young man, we will recognize our opportunities when God offers them to us.